The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to the Valentine's Views podcast. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. If you're watching us on YouTube, please like and subscribe there to support our channel. If you're listening to us across the Big Blue View radio platform, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and drop us a rating if you can. We always appreciate the feedback. All right, Giants fans, we are into Monday, August 15th of Giants training camp. Really, the fourth week of camp. Monday will be the first practice of training camp without fans in attendance. And the big story right now for your Giants is injuries. Listen, the Giants have had a rash of them lately. On Sunday, I was not in attendance on Sunday. Believe it or not, I do take a day off on occasion. But I wasn't there on Sunday. Looked like a couple of players. Edge defenders Jahad Ward and Ellerson Smith both left practice early, adding to an already long list of players who are missing from practice at this point in time. We'll go through some of them. Looks like Shane Lemieux, a left guard, is going to miss this week. Head coach Brian Daboll was non-committal about when Lemieux might return, said it won't be this week. Wouldn't commit to whether he'd be ready for the season opener or not. Looks like Josh Azudu, who would ordinarily step in at left guard for Lemieux, is also out of action for a little while. Daboll said it was questionable whether or not Azudu would be ready to play on Sunday when the Giants have their second preseason game against the Bengals. Guard center Jamal Douglas is also out, so you've got a situation. You know, the Giants have already lost rookie Marcus McKethan to a torn ACL, so they lost offensive tackle Matt Gano to a neck injury, so they're very, very thin. They're scrambling to fill spots on that offensive line, and it's a tough go right now. Daboll also said that he's not sure that Kadarius Toney will practice this week. Giants have kind of been managing Toney throughout camp. He left practice early, 2 days before the preseason game. Didn't play in last week's preseason game. Don't know if whatever's going on with him right now is related to the offseason knee surgery that Toney had, but obviously something to monitor. And Toney's absence, I fully understand, is something that will frustrate Giants fans to no end after all of the twists and turns and ups and downs of his rookie season, including the number of injuries that he suffered that caused him to miss six games last year and miss a ton of practice time. Giants injury list includes a lot of other players. Ricky Seals-Jones has missed, I think, 10 straight practices. Rookie tight end Andre Miller's out with a broken forearm, might be headed to IR for the season. Rookie safety Dane Belton has a broken collarbone. Second-year cornerback Rodarius Williams, who missed most of last year with a torn ACL, has also not practiced this year since very early in training camp, was kind of in and out of spring practices, if memory serves correctly. So there's something going on there. I think Leonard Williams has also missed a couple of practices lately. I'm not as concerned about Leonard Williams as I am about some of these other injuries, although Williams is, of course, a key player. I feel like Williams will be ready for the season when it starts. I'm not as concerned about that. But obviously, you know, these injuries are a concern. And Giants fans, you know, pretty much want to know when this is going to end, when all of this seems like every single year the Giants are devastated in one way or another by injuries. And we don't know if that's going to be the case this year. You know, right now they're going through a bad period where they're missing a lot of their guys. And when stuff like this happens, everybody wants somebody to blame. But the reality of it is stuff like this has happened for the Giants going all the way back to the Tom Coughlin era. You know, Coughlin made a lot of changes in his last few years, changing up practices, you know, letting guys do extended stretch periods, just changing practice methods considerably. And obviously when Coughlin began coaching the Giants, there were two-a-days, which went away, you know, several years ago with the new collective bargaining agreement. I think that was 2010 or 11. Things have changed dramatically, but listen, Giants had injuries with Tom Coughlin and the training staff, the conditioning staff that Coughlin had in place. They had a ton of injuries under Ben McAdoo and the training and conditioning staff that he had in place and the philosophies that he used in practice, where he had a lot of light days, a lot of walkthrough days, backed players down quite a bit. It didn't change under Pat Shurmur with new strength staff, with new conditioning coaches, with new coordinators, with new practice philosophies. It didn't change under Joe Judge, who was incredibly careful. Although he was, you know, a tough guy by reputation, he was incredibly careful with returning guys to practice once they had been hurt. He tended to leave them out for long, long periods of time, make sure they were 100% healthy before he brought them back. Didn't change under Judge. And, you know, Brian Daboll, Joe Shane, we're in Buffalo, where the Bills had a lot of success avoiding injuries. And Daboll has often spoken about some of the things that he learned in Buffalo, a lot of the sports science that they learned in Buffalo, a lot of the things that he's brought here to the Giants. And maybe long term, these things will help. But look, you cannot, this is football. It's a contact sport. It's an athletic event. It's played on a hard field, whether it's grass or whether it's field turf. Guys leap into the air. They fall awkwardly. Guess what? When you leap into the air, make an acrobatic play, sometimes you land awkwardly and break your collarbone. When you're playing fullback and you're going up there into the line of scrimmage and trying to throw a block in a crowd of people, you stick your arm in there, sometimes you break your forearm. You're a pass rusher, you're an offensive lineman, sometimes you get your leg twisted up, sometimes you get stepped on, sometimes you get rolled up from behind. Sometimes players get a cleat caught in the field turf. It happens. You know, you can try to prevent some of the soft tissue stuff. And so far, the Giants have been pretty fortunate with that kind of injury this year. But some of these other injuries, the stuff where you get rolled up on, the broken bones, all of that stuff, you can't prevent those. You can't stop those from happening. As I said, it's a contact sport. There is no one to blame. You can't blame the head coach. You can't blame the conditioning coach for a broken bone, or for a guy getting rolled up on in practice. You can't blame the trainers. These things just happen. And I would think that Giants fans, after this number of years, would understand that you can keep changing as many things as you want. injuries are going to happen. They're unfortunate. We wish they wouldn't happen, but in reality, it's no one's fault. It's just football. The best thing you can do, you know, as an organization, as a franchise, you use the best information you've got, you use the best science that you've got. You try to bring in players who have a history of health and hope that it stays that way as much as possible. And as I said, there's no one to blame for this stuff. It's unfortunate. Let's hope that most of these guys, let's hope that Lemieux is back soon and ready to go for the regular season. Let's hope Azudu is back soon, ready to go for the regular season. Let's hope that whatever Tony is being bothered by doesn't keep him off the field a whole lot longer. Let's hope all of these guys are back on the field sooner rather than later. You know, knock on wood, to this point, Saquon Barkley's been healthy. Daniel Jones has been healthy. Wandale Robinson, Daniel Bellinger, these guys have stayed healthy. Evan Neal, Andrew Thomas have stayed healthy. Kayvon Thibodeau, knock on wood, hopefully these key players will continue to stay healthy leading up to week one against the Tennessee Titans. And hopefully, many of these other guys that are sidelined right now will be back. But I know everybody wants a scapegoat. I know everybody wants an answer. I know everybody wants a reason. And there isn't a single reason to give you. There's never a single person or a single thing to blame. It's just the sport of football, and stuff like this happens. And you have to move forward with the players the best you can. All right, one other thing that I wanted to talk about quickly is Daniel Jones and the Giants offense. As I said earlier, I was not out at Quest Diagnostics on Sunday, but it was reportedly another really, really rough day for Jones in the offense. I think Dan Duggan of The Athletic charted Jones as 6 of 19 passing, which is ugly, You know, I keep saying we have to have context to these numbers. We have to look at them and say, you know, we don't know what the play calls were. We don't know sometimes if a wide receiver or a running back or a tight end is in the wrong place. We don't know the circumstances of every throw. We don't know what the coaching staff might have told the quarterback in terms of where the ball was to go on a given play. But 6 of 19 is ugly, no matter how you slice it. And I get it. I get it if there's concern at this point. And one of the things that I intend to ask Brian Daboll, if possible, is regarding the theory of process over results at this time of the year. That's something that Shane Tierney talked about last week. Shane Tierney being the Giants quarterbacks coach. He said at this time of year, the Giants are not really about completion percentage. They're not about numbers in training camp practices, you know, whether it's 6 of 19 or 16 of 19. They're about process over results. They're about learning what works and what doesn't work. They're about learning why certain things didn't work, you know, why a pass fell incomplete, why a wide receiver and a quarterback didn't seem to be on the same page. All of those things. And I get that. And I understand that. And I want fans to look at all of these numbers and take them all with a grain of salt, because in the end, in the big picture, when you look back on the 2022 season, nobody's going to care about what the training camp passing numbers were. They're not. What people are going to care about is what happened once the regular season started. Did the Giants have a competent offense? Did they have an effective passing game? Did Daniel Jones play well? Was he on the same page with Kenny Golladay? Was he on the same page with Kadarius Toney? Was he able to get the ball up and down the field effectively? And for me, the question that I need to ask Brian Daboll, and maybe later on in the week, offensive coordinator Mike Kafka, is when do results become more important than process? When do you begin to worry about the results? You know, when do you look at 6 of 19 and say, that's, you know, And instead of shrugging your shoulders and say, it's just practice, we'll look at the film, we'll learn from it, we'll gain some information from it, and we'll fix it. When do you look at 6 of 19 and say, oh, that's just not good enough? That just had to be better today, regardless of what the process and what the reasons were. I wonder when that flips. I mean, are we, do Daboll and his staff simply not worry about those numbers until we get to the regular season? Will they just continue to try things in practice, to run out different route combinations, to try things for the first time, to look at things and try to develop this offense? When do they narrow it down and say, okay, these are the things that we know how to do, and we're just going to stick to these for the time being? We'll try slowly to add other things to the offense. But I want to know when it becomes a concern that so often the passing attack in these practices looks so ugly. As I said, I get the fact that it's a work in progress, but I think the question as we get closer and closer to the season becomes, when do you get concerned if you don't begin to see more efficiency on a day-to-day basis in the passing attack? All right, Giants fans, that's all I've got for you today. Please check bigblueview.com for all of your Giants coverage. Yours truly will be out at Quest Diagnostics on Monday and Tuesday. So please check our website for the practice reviews each day and feature stories, any other news that happens at camp as we try to get you guys ready for the 2022 NFL season. All right, Giants fans, thank you, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.